All right. Are you ready? Are you sure? All right, let's do this. There's two words today that I want to talk about with you, and how you then begin to live out this next year in light of these two words. The two words are this: the kingdom of God and His church. The kingdom of God and His church. Now, here's the thing is, I venture to say that most of us have heard a great deal when it comes to the word church. That you've seen plenty of examples. You've driven down the street and you've seen a sign and it says that it's a church and all of those things. So we've got this mindset of what a church is. But there's something that strikes me, which is, I think there is a real deficit in teaching on the kingdom. Now, raise your hand if you feel like, because I'm really curious about this. So I'm really, raise your hand. If you feel like you have heard as much teaching on the kingdom as you have about the church. All right, quiz number two. Jesus mentions the word kingdom in Scripture. Anybody want to guess how many times? Throw out a number. How many? 87. Anybody else want to take a guess? 300. I don't have a prize. I should have been given a prize for somebody who got the closest, right? 106 times he mentions the word kingdom. It seems to be one of his most favorite topics in Scripture. Now, I would say if something is a favorite in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus mentions it 106 times in Scripture, it ought to be important to us, right? And yet, we don't hear very much about the kingdom. All right, now, church. How many times does Jesus mention church in Scripture? Oh, seven. How many? Two. He mentions church twice. Now, Jesus. Now, once you get into the Acts and all, you hear about church all the time because it's actually being written to the church. But how many times does Jesus actually speak of the church? And I'm going to show you where it is in Scripture. He only mentions it twice. Once in regard to Peter's confession, and then once when it's talking about how to be reconciled. That at the end of that process, you take them to the church. Now, isn't that something? That all of us walking around in America, we feel like we've heard all that we can stand about church, and Jesus mentions that twice, and yet we seem like we don't know anything about the kingdom, and He mentions that over 106 times in Scripture. We got to fix that. That we're going to start on that today, okay? We're going to see if we can work on that today. So I want to make sure, one, that you have a mindset of the kingdom. And so the kingdom is literally this. It is anything, any person that is under the rule and the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? If it's operating under His rule and His reign, that's part of the kingdom. Everything in heaven, oh, that's perfect. That's part of the kingdom. Everything down here, this is a strange place down here, isn't it? See, the thing is, all of the kingdom is available to us, but not all of it is active in our life. Do you see that? That was good. I'm going to say that one more time. All right? All of the kingdom is available, but it's not all active in us. And so the kingdom is the place where the will of God, the reign of God is both available and it's active. In fact, Scripture goes on to define it in this way in Romans 14:7. If you can get there in a hurry, it says this, that the kingdom of God, it says it's not like food and drink and all those things. It said it's this, it is righteousness. What is righteousness? When things are rightly related to God. All right? So it's righteousness, it's peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you want to know where the kingdom is, just look for where things are rightly related to God. The kingdom's there. Look where there is true peace and there's true joy. That's where the kingdom is. And then in 1 Corinthians 4:20, if you can get there quickly as well, Paul talks about, this is the funny thing. Back in this day and age, talk was cheap back then too. And in the nearly inspired Kevin translation, I use that every now and again. I warn you against it, okay? You really should check it against the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, though, it says that the kingdom does not come with just words, but it comes with power. And so wherever the kingdom is, there should be power. Talk's cheap. You want to know where the kingdom is? It's where the power of God is. Now, the power of God is available to all of us. It's just not always active in our lives. And then I love the progression as people kind of move through Embers. A lot of times people will come in and you'll begin to hear them talk a certain way, and they'll be like, well, you know, I know that Lord brought cancer into my loved one's life because, and that's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. You know, and I'm like, oh, just love. They'll get it in just a little bit. They'll get it. You know, the kingdom is not about God bringing cancer and disaster to your life. Okay, that's actually the kingdom of darkness. All right, that's darkness. So wherever there is sin and there is death and there is darkness and there is Satan, that's a kingdom, but that's not the one we're talking about. All right. And then after a while, as people begin to sit and soak, and as we begin to point back to the Word, you'll hear people say, now look, I know that person's sick, but I want you to know that God didn't do that. I'm like, yeah, there you go. That's right. We're getting lined up. We're getting lined up with Scripture. And so you look, wherever there is sin, wherever there is death, wherever there is darkness, that's a kingdom, but that's the kingdom of darkness. Wherever God enters in and the kingdom comes, that's where light and life exist. I love what Graham Cook says. He says, the first thing you do when you walk into a dark room is what? You look for the light, don't you? You ever thought about it? Every time you walk into a dark room, the first thing you try to do is turn on the light. Those of you who have toddlers, little small kids, you know that it's pertinent that you do that, right? Otherwise, you're going to have a Lego through your little pinky toe, you know, and you're going to trip over something. And so you look for the light. And so the kingdom is wherever light exists. Most Christians believe that we have a darkness problem. And all they talk about is how dark the world is and how bad the world's become and how desperate a situation is. You know why? Because there's no light. But as soon as light comes, light is always superior to darkness. And so the kingdom is about turning the light on. In fact, Chris, do me a favor. Turn down those lights that you have control of back there. So wherever the kingdom is, it just turns the light on. Now, if we didn't have these lights up there, I could have really messed y'all up. You know, because you would have had that moment of that encounter with the light where you go, ooh, you know, and sometimes when it's so bright, you go, ooh, man, you need to turn that off. Do you realize that's what happens when the kingdom comes to certain people? That's how they respond to the light. It's like when light comes into a room, they're like, ooh, that's bright. I don't know if I like that or not. Jesus said that the light came into the world, but there were some that loved darkness. They just liked it dark. And so they don't respond to the kingdom. But imagine if we can go into every area of life. You want to know what Kevin wants for your life in 2017? I want light to come, the kingdom of God to come, the righteousness and peace and joy and the power of God to come in every single crack and crevice of your life. Every single crack and crevice. That we just walk around and wherever it is, it'll be like, you know what? We're just going to turn the light on right there. You know? If there's this thing that you're feeling inside, this sin that you can't overcome, we're just going to turn the light on this year. That's what we're going to do. And you said, well, my family. I realize more and more that because we're getting so far from God, that people don't even know what a Christian family looks like. There's not even a model for that. So you know what we're going to do? We're just going to go turn the light on. And we say, look at here. This is what it looks like. And we're just going to turn the light on in family. And then there's people, and they're like, oh, Lord, it's Monday morning, and I got to go to work. Oh, it sure is dark there. Oh, it's dark at work, Kevin. It's just dark. I just wish I could come and work at the church where there's plenty of light. It's just dark at my place. You know what we got to teach you to do? Just go turn the light on. But now, see, it's going to be dark until you get some light in you, because you can't go give away what you don't have. Okay, so we're going to want to work on ourselves to an extent that there is light shining in us. That way, wherever we are, you go in the grocery store, guess what happened? Oh, the light just come on. I knew I was, Brantley said, you're going to make a message out of this regardless. We were going into Target the other day because I had a gift certificate and I was going to buy me a cup of coffee. And it was a Starbucks in Target, of course, in Rock Hill. And so I'm going in. And those of you who don't know me, I am blessed. God loves me. He really loves me. Okay? Now, He loves you too. Okay, so maybe some of you don't know that. He loves you too, but I know God loves me. And God has this little thing that He does with Kevin just to remind me that He loves me, which is I always get good parking places. I always do. And I realize that there are probably times that I've taken an elderly lady's parking spot, and I'm like, ma'am, it's for a good reason. It's because God loves me. It's just this thing. It won't hurt you to walk today. Okay? Now, there's been occasions where you'll have that grumpy person that'll want to take your spot. You ever had that? That you're getting ready to go into a spot and you didn't turn your turn signal on and they'll whip right in there, right? Does it make you mad? It does not make me mad. It makes me so happy. I get so happy when somebody steals my parking place. Because let me tell you what happened. I was at Target and I had a pretty good spot. It was one of those that I was going to give God glory for, which I always do when I pull up. I'm like, God, you love me. Thank you. And I was getting ready to pull in, and this lady, just apparently she doesn't know that God loves her, so she tried to steal something that was a gift of God. You don't steal the gifts of God, they're free. So she tries to steal this thing. She pulls right in there. Brantley looks at me. I'm like, no problem. I drive on down. The very first parking spot right after the hand, I'd have to have a handicap parking sticker if I was going to get any closer. Guy pulls right out. And I pull right in. And I got this smile on my face, and Brantley just looks, and she says, my goodness. And I said, I wonder if that woman that stole my parking place, if she knows how much God loves me. Brantley said, I think she does. She's looking at you as she walks by. Brantley said, you ought to go in and buy her a cup of coffee if she's going into Starbucks. I said, I think I will. Apparently, she was not going in there. But here's the thing. We carry light wherever we go. We carry the favor of God wherever we go. And so we ought to have that mindset that even when something bad happens, when they take your parking place, when somebody treats you poorly, when something doesn't go your way, you don't look at it and go, oh man, there it goes again. You look and you go, whoo, you know what? I'm about to get an upgrade. I'm about to get a better spot than I had. And so wherever we go, we just shine light because there's this light inside of us. The world is dark because we have not shown the light of Jesus in those areas. We have not gone to work and began to set things right. But I know, and I'm watching you guys, and you guys are getting it, and you're doing it, and light is coming, and it is an awesome thing. And that, my friends, is the kingdom. That's the kingdom. But now what in the world is church? So we got to take up this thing that Jesus mentions twice. So look over here. We got to read a little bit here. So let's go to Matthew 16. So Jesus is asking His disciples in Matthew 16 who they think He is. And there are these different responses. And Jesus looks at Peter in verse 15. And He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, upon this confession that Peter just made, I will build my, there it is, church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Now the word in the Greek is called ecclesia, and it means the called out ones. If you lived in the Greek society of that age, you would know what the writer here in Matthew is talking about. They would assemble a group of people for a political purpose. They would gather up the elders, the leading people of the entire nation, and they would have this thing called an assembly. It was the called out ones. The church or the Christians sort of took over this word and said, we are the called out ones. Do you believe that? We are the called out ones. We have been called out for a very special purpose, which is to be kingdom minded, to bring light wherever there's darkness. That's our purpose. It is to be surrendered to the King. And so there was an authority in Greece, and the reason nobody liked the Christians originally is because they said, you know what? We don't answer to human authority. We answer to God. And people are like, oh, I don't know about that. We don't know. And so the church is still those who operate off of one, a confession. Let me ask you, do you? Do you live by a confession? And that confession is the same as Peter. Lord, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. So the church lives by a confession. It also is a community. It's these called out ones who are separated and they live in community. Can I tell you a little something about brokenness real quick? If you look at brokenness in an individual's life, I can tell you that if you watch it long enough, it's going to destroy community. Brokenness will destroy fellowship with God, will it not? Brokenness will destroy relationships between husbands and wives. You ever seen it do that? Brokenness will destroy the relationship of parents and children. And Lord knows, nobody's ever gotten mad in church, right? Right? So if you look at brokenness and you look at its ultimate conclusion, what the enemy is trying to do is destroy community. Because it is in that supernatural community called the church that actually people begin to be made whole. Oh, it's a beautiful thing when it happens. And so people begin to be made whole as they enter into community. I love the church. I got to tell you. And just to be clear, Ember is not cornering the market on church. I mean all those who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The church is beautiful. I know that there are times where we look at our flaws and we see our things that we don't like about ourselves. But if you've ever watched a young married couple, they just love each other, don't they? It's like when you see that young love, it's like they don't see any bad in each other. You know, and some people say, oh, just give it time. You'll be just like us. I'm like, oh, I wish we could all just go back to that young love where we saw the best in each other. And so we live by confession and we live in community. And then check out, we got to go back to Scripture. Verse 19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so it's as though God has given us these keys and they open stuff, y'all. You know, there are people and they're like, you know what? I don't even know if God exists or not. I've never had an encounter with God. And you're like, really? Because you know what? I got some keys. And you walk over and say, you know what? I got a key to that you can have an encounter with God. And some people say, I've never heard God speak. You guys talk about hearing God speak. I've never heard God speak. And you go, you haven't heard God speak? Really? Because I got a key for that. Come here. And I can help you. I can help you hear God. Some people say, you know what? I don't know love. My parents didn't love me. I've never experienced true love before, what it's like. And you go, really? Oh, because that's one of my favorite keys. And you pull that and you come here. Let me help you experience love. Let me help you experience it in this community of the church, even of where people love you. You guys don't even know how good you are sometimes. Yeah. You are such a diverse group of people. It gets me so excited. In the normal realm, you guys would never be friends. You never would have hung out with each other at school. It just never would have happened. But that's what happens with this thing called the church that's a community, is that it brings people together in this supernatural way that never would have had any kind of common connection with each other. But we do, because we share a common confession and we share a common community and we share this love for each other. And so my pastor friend that was here this past summer, he says the church ought to think of itself in three ways. It ought to think of itself as up and in and out. I'm going to go over that one more time. Up, in, and out. That's good, isn't it? I didn't think of that. He did. Harold Eberle. And so the up is this. The up is we're rightly related. We're a community that is rightly related with God. And so we're entering into a relationship. We're inviting people to come into a relationship with God. And His presence is being revealed as we meet together. When we worship with music, and that's not the only way you worship, by the way, but when we worship with music, do you know what? That wasn't about us. It's never supposed to be. If it is, you did it wrong. It was supposed to be about Him. You see, the upward call is that we minister to the Lord. Some people have never done that, don't even know how. But it's just when the presence of God is revealed and we enter into this relationship with God and we just begin to thank Him and we just begin to praise Him. And sometimes I just sit there and go, whew, I don't even have words. He's just good. And so it's this upward thing, a challenge for us this year. We're going to celebrate more this year. You hear me? We're going to celebrate more this year. There are cultures and they got the celebration thing down awesome. They can just knock it out, you know? And there are communities and they got the worship thing down. And I don't want to be a specialist. I just want to participate in all of it. And so I want to be able to lay at His feet. But I also want to be able to rejoice in the Lord. And so we're going to learn to celebrate this year. In fact, we talked with the praise team and we're going to learn to celebrate. Because you know what? We win. And we're winning. And we ought to be excited about it. And so we're going to learn to celebrate. Why? Because of Him. And then there's that inward thing where we minister to one another. Ephesians 4 talks about equipping each other so that we're made mature. And so that's why we equip people to send them out. We don't equip them just to make you smart. So today, let's don't be confused, okay? What I am not wanting from you is to sit here and listen to me and go, okay, that makes sense. Okay, that was pretty entertaining. He told that story about the parking lot. That was pretty cool. Yeah, kind of thing. And nod your head. I don't want you to nod your head. I want you to be equipped so that the light of God is shining in every crack and crevice of your life. So that wherever you go, you're taking the light of God. And so I want to equip you for that. I could care less about making you smarter. Because honestly, there are some people at some universities and they're smarter in the Bible than we will ever be. But they proclaim themselves to be atheists. So smart is not what we're going for. What we're going for is practitioners. The church is supposed to be a training ground. You hear me? We're supposed to be a training ground. And that's that inward thing that we do where we release these keys and so we equip people. And then there's this outward thing. So many of you work in so many different areas. We got folks that are going to Rock Hill and going to Charlotte to work and going to Columbia to work and Lancaster to work and all these different places. That's no accident. Do you realize that? Because what we're supposed to be doing is taking the kingdom of God with us when we go. And so that's that outward thing, that you have family. And I don't think you ought to stop until every last one of them is saved. I really don't. I don't think you ought to stop. In fact, there was somebody I thought about this past week, and I realized that they had people pray for people in their life, but there was one person that I wasn't convinced that they had been prayed for in the same way. And I said, you know what? Every time I go by that person's house, I'm going to pray for them. Because I think everybody in Chester ought to be saved. You know? I just think everybody in Chester ought to be saved. I think everybody at your workplace ought to be experiencing the love and the peace and the joy of God. Every single workplace. I don't think we should rest. That's our outward call. And so because of that, I get in tension sometimes. Because I love this idea of having you guys go out and minister. And sometimes the people that you minister to and they get saved, they don't even come back here to Ember. Because they don't even live in an area where they can. And I'm like, Lord, maybe that's not a good strategy. Because you know what people ask when they ask me about Ember, right? How's Ember going? I'm like, man, it's going great. I'm like, it's going better than I deserve, really. Yeah. And they're like, really? How many people you got down there? And what I've realized is this. This is what the world thinks the church is. You remember that thing we used to teach our kids? This is the church, and this is the steeple. And you open the doors, and here's all the people. I have something written on my whiteboard in my office. And it says this. It's sending capacity, not seating capacity. It's sending capacity, not seating capacity. And I'm not saying anything about the size of churches. Will you please understand my heart in this? Because I think there's room in the kingdom for a group of two or three people that meet together in somebody's home or at McDonald's. I think there's room for churches that are 30 or 75 people. I think there's room for 300 and 3,000 and 30,000. And apparently the church in South Korea has over 1 million that go to church there. When they pray, it says that the mountain rumbles. I think there's room. And that's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is when we judge ourselves by how many people we convince to come in, we have missed that what Jesus said, if you look in Matthew, he said, on that confession, I will build my church. I will build my church. And I sat around and thought, my goodness, because I think we teach a lot that we're supposed to build the church. This will be important if you get it. Jesus told us to be involved in the work of the kingdom and he would build his church. I wonder if we don't set ourselves up for some real serious mistakes when we try to build the church and ignore the kingdom. That might have been important. Y'all don't say amen. You just make me repeat everything. I don't even remember what I said. I can't. We record this. It'll be on the website soon. So let me just be clear as I wrap this thing up, okay? I need you to know, and you probably do, but I need you to be sure in this because there's so much pressure of this kind of church that you might lose sight of what Jesus says the church really is, okay? The church is not a place, and it's not a building. You are the church, okay? Let me just remind you of that. It is not a building, and it's not a place. So what God wants you to enter into is community. That's why you can't go to the church. I love the fact that we're in a shopping center because it just feels awkward to say going to church, doesn't it? I'm sure you've had that tension. I've seen it in you before. You say, should we meet down at the we'll meet down at Ember. I love that because you're like, where's the steeple, right? Can we call it a church if it doesn't have a steeple? Can we? Yes, we can because we are the community. You know, so it is not a building and it is not a place and it is not a schedule. Okay? So church is not something that happens at 10:30 on Sundays and doesn't happen any other time. We are the church and we live that thing out every day. And our assignment is not to build the church, it's to build the kingdom. And so I need to tell you just one last thing before we go. Some of you are called to operate inside the church, meaning your heart is to nurture the body, to grow them up and to equip them. I could call names right now of those of you, and that's your heart. But there are those of you, now y'all listen up, because there's more of you than there is of the other way, that you're kingdom people. You're meant to live out in the world. Your territory is your lost family. Your territory is your workplace. Your territory is your neighborhood. And you've often come into churches and felt like you didn't belong there. And you know why? Because you don't, in the sense that you were supposed to just grow roots there. You were meant to operate out in the world and to bring the kingdom there. You're kingdom people. So everybody has this thing that their heart is drawn to. Some of you want to teach and you want to mature the body of Christ. And so that's what you do. But most of you are meant to be out in the world and you're out spreading the light. And then that way, when somebody says, how many ministers are there down there at Ember? We'll say, well, at this point, we got about 175 or so, I think. And then we got about 25 more that come, but we're not sure they've yet accepted the call to ministry, you know. But if we do, then we're going to have about 200. And they go out all the time. And in fact, Mark and I have been racking our brains because we had this beautiful thing when somebody said, how many people do you have going there? And I think it's something along these lines. That doesn't work for us. Because God's called us out into the world. And so we've got this neighborhood called East Chester, and God's just given us a heart for them. We just love that neighborhood. And there's about 300 houses in that neighborhood. And we just want to love on them. And so we consider them part of this thing that God is doing in us. And then every day we got people going to Charlotte and Columbia and Lancaster, and they're ministering all over. So I'm not sure that way that you're counting works for us anymore. Now, you see, you got to be careful with that because it can sound a little bit snarky, can't it? You know, it can sound a little higher up. And so I don't know that that's something that we have to go out and tout. When somebody says something, just know that we are called by confession and we are called to a community. And we have an upward call and an inner call and an outward call. And we're going to go do that and we're going to let God build his church. Yeah? So here's what I want you to do. I would like to commission you for 2017. We're going to have a little bit of ministry time, and here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to stand up, if you will. Some of you, your families are so strong that right now you just maybe want to minister to each other, but this thing is this year, we're going to have light inside of us in every crack and crevice. That the light of God is going to shine in us and set us free in every area. And then the same is going to happen in our families and over our kids. So you may want to do a family thing, or your family might want to minister to another family. How cool would that be? And then I'm going to be down here as well. And if you want what I'm talking about, a kingdom focus, where it's kingdom first, then I want to pray over you. And I want to release you into ministry in 2017. And I want to use some of those keys to unlock you. So I would love to come down and be able to just pray over anybody that wants to. So we're going to spend a little time in ministry right now, okay?
If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.